Hashtag no music, no intro. Sunday night, Saints Block Party podcast. The country is in a handbasket.
Shambles.
We have just multiple people, and not to make light that people don't pass away every day, but Shannon Doherty, Richard Simmons, Dr. Ruth, Jacoby Jones.
Man.
What took place yesterday that we'll talk about.
Oh, Lord.
And here we are on the cusp of training camp.
Talking Saints.
talking the Saints. The reason I even wanted to do this episode was because, thanks to new Saint, Equanimeous St. Brown, and his brother, Amaral St. Brown, of the St. Brown podcast. Have you finished Receiver yet?
Literally just finished the last episode, like literally.
We watched it over the weekend, got through it pretty quickly. Jaden watched the last one for obvious reasons. Obviously, if you've been under a rock, or maybe not obviously, the whole thing, first it started with Amaral saying that no one on the Saints believed that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And then Twitter became a, that was Friday, Twitter became a flame about it, what have you. And then, I don't know, I think it was from that same podcast episode. And now, listen, I'm not typically the one to even, they're NFL players. They get enough free publicity, right? They get enough marketing just by who they are. So I'm not usually the one to take something from a podcast and then talk about it on our podcast, but felt like this one I needed to. So then it was the whole thing of Equanimeous saying, you know, wasn't really quite feeling New Orleans food yet. He's only been to Drago's and it was all right. And then he said, like, the food in LA is better, or he didn't say better. Sorry. He said he people don't understand how good the food in LA is. So let me clarify that. So that was Friday, bro. Like, or Friday, then like Saturday, right? That was all we had up to that point. We was just gonna go with that.
Is it?
Then we got World War III on this bitch. And I want to incorporate, I don't know what you mean, Wade. And I want to incorporate what we kind of saw from Receiver, because Receiver to me was like very interesting. Like, there were some things I saw on Receiver I was like, okay. But let's go back to, and the name of this podcast episode is Are the Saints a Laughing Stock in the League? Now, when I thought of that title, part of it was a little clickbaity, but the other part of it was more so, I want to have an organic discussion about where do we feel as fans on the outside. Well, I know how the NFL feels, but where does the NFL feel in terms of other teams feel about where the Saints are right now? Because I don't know who Dane is, but we have our first YouTube SBP YouTube membership person. Shout out to Dane Warner.
Shut up, Dane.
Thank you. First one. Number.
That's my guy right there. That's my guy right there.
My guy.
It's my man right there.
My guy.
Thank you, Dane. So any question, throw it in the chat. We'll make sure we get to it. Not to besmirch our Patreons who are already in the chat. We already got Wayne.
Oh, y'all besmirch. Bunch. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's Dane. It's all about Dane today. Shout out to Dane. It's my guy. Y'all besmirch.
Where do we feel the Saints are? Or how they're viewed organically from a front office perspective and in a football team perspective going into this season?
It's a good question. Like, from, you know, from who? From the league? From the media? From who?
I'm thinking more, and it's, I'm going for the league. It's a trick question because I kind of know what the answer is to it too, and we've talked about it on the podcast, but I just wanted to just chop it up about it.
I don't know. I think the league probably looks like, what are they doing? You know, I mean, the Saints operate different. Part of that, I don't mind operating different. I don't, you know, I like moving at your own pace or whatever. But you know, the Saints, they're just in this weird spot where they have a good bit of really good players. You know, that are, you know, they're getting older, but still, you know, Mario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore, Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara, the list goes on. You know, Paulson Adebo, even young players like Paulson Adebo and stuff like that. So it's like they're in this place where they got these good players, but at the same time, it's like, where are they going? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the vision? What we like to say, what is the vision? What is the overall vision? Yeah, like we could say they have a vision for this season. They want to win the South and make it to the playoffs and let's see what happens. Yeah. We get that. But like from a front offices have to think, you know, on a longer horizon. They have to think 3 years, 5 years, you know, where is this organization going? And I don't think the front office, I don't know if the front office has a plan. I know the coaching staff don't have a plan. It's like, so it's really like a year-to-year thing. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a tough place to be as a franchise, bro.
It is. And the reason I wanted to start here was it kind of goes in line with the Amon-Ra St. Brown. Can I have a quick segue about Amon-Ra St. Brown? Just a quick one. After watching receiver, what the fuck is wrong with his dad?
You didn't like his daddy, bro?
I need to know, Ryan, what the fuck was wrong with him?
What you mean?
He was insufferable. He's
just one of them types. You could tell, bro. Like,
oh, I could tell very, very quickly.
Like he was on them from a very young age. Like, he had a plan for them, and they had to stick with that plan, you know?
And Dante look, said, man said Coke is better than water.
This man said, man, they need to drink. This is the voice text and everything. You need to drink some Coke, Coca-Cola.
Let me tell you the most telling thing that I, one of the most telling things I saw from at least the St. Brown perspective, when they were doing like the Fox, I think it was maybe Christina Pink or whatever, talking about.
Yeah.
Amara, I think, gave credit to his mom.
Oh yeah, he gave it a listen. He said, you know, much love to my dad. You know, I wouldn't be here without you. But we talk about that mama, boy. That's when the tears flow right there. Yeah, that's when the tears flow.
Wayne said, "Oh, he's a super sports dad." Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He absolutely is.
Oh my god, like to the nth degree. You know what I'm saying? But I got two sons in NFL, man. Like as a human. Maybe not the greatest, but like, hey, you did all right. You did all right. And look, that's a dichotomy we see a lot with, you know, mothers and fathers. You know, like the mothers, they hit different, man. A lot of times they just hit different. And the dads, you know, I know me, like, I can speak for myself. Like, my father, he wasn't like, he was, my father was present and everything. But, you know, it was just a very... You know, not a very lovey-dovey type relationship. You know what I'm saying? But as I got older, I grew to respect him more for the things he did growing up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, you know, I respect that. But we see that all over. But it was interesting, though, man. I was like, man, he is a piece of work. That dude a piece of work, bro.
Texting Amara's girlfriend.
Bruh.
Dream calling girls dream killers. I was like, what is this nigga's problem?
Dream killer.
He was calling girls dream killers with his wife sitting right next to him, Ryan.
Dream killer.
Ain't that some shit?
And then he give St. Brown old lady pictures of him when he was Mr. Universe or whatever.
Weird, bro.
What? Doing a piece of work, bro.
Yeah, Ryan. Anyway, sorry. I by the end of it, bro, I couldn't stand him. And he struck me as a type of, no matter what Amarad does as a player, it's never good enough. It's never good enough. And that's why I
said Brown the way he is. But that's why that's why he was, when he didn't make the Pro Bowl, which was, you know, ridiculous in itself that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. But that shit had him hot.
Hot, Ryan. Hot,
bro. And, you know, it's fascinating. But at the same time, St. Brown a dog, man. Like, and
he
plays with that edge and that dog, like he trying to prove something every snap. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
I loved him coming out at USC, bro. I thought he was very underrated. I know we don't watch so many players. It is. So I said this on the podcast like 2 years ago. Talking to my friend that knows some things, and I was kind of in denial because I was told that the league saw the Saints as a laughingstock organization. Since Peyton left, so you got the Mickey and the DA experience, and I think it was like maybe that first offseason with DA at the helm, or maybe it was after DA's first like full season as head coach. So maybe it wasn't 2 years ago, but a laughing stock, bro. And when Amarad tells his brother that no one on the team meaning the Saints, feel like they can win a Super Bowl, it just felt like the quiet part was like said out loud by someone other, like someone who wasn't just us, right?
Exactly. Or not on the media. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, this is an NFL player. NFL players talk, bro. Like, they talk just like me and you talking. They talk about who win and who lose and how they view teams and stuff like that. And that's how the Saints are viewed, bro. Like, that wasn't a hot take from him. You know what I'm saying? That was just like,
bro, ain't nobody think the Saints doing that. Mad as hell, bro. Not a Detroit Lion. We have flipped. It's flipped.
And look, the defense of the Saints, man, like I would have been right with him a couple years ago, defending my team to the nth degree, right with him. But this time I was like, man got a point. Man, he ain't lying.
What do we say before that Rams game, bro? Show us something. Can you show us something?
Please.
That's the model for the, like, that's honestly going to be the model for this upcoming third season for DA and Derek Carr. Show us something. Another little subplot. This is going to be a lot of receiver talk because it's just very relevant. Did the Niners locker room feel a little segregated to you, Ryan? Like a little segregated? Yeah. Like a little Jim Crow-ish in that bitch?
It did, man. It did.
Something felt off, bro, when old girl Claire throws George Kittle his surprise birthday party, and he walk in there, and I'm just looking. I'm like, ain't no.
I'm like, damn, like, you know, 80% of the roster black, right? You got at least one Negro in there? Not one Negro. Just one Negro. Usually they got that one Negro that be in there. You know, that one. It's not even a token Negro.
No, no, not with like one that would be wearing the glasses, looking all nerdy and stuff. Like, hi guys, it's just no.
Let up, man. I'm like,
Dante said she told Debo's wife about it, but didn't give her an invite.
So yeah, girl, we had a party and everything. There you go.
Oh, okay.
And I know Debo White was like,
It's a fascinating thing to watch because essentially what in NFL locker room is no different, right? It's just a microcosm of the world.
That's it.
That's all it is. So it was kind of like stark to kind of see, like, I told Jay when the birthday party started, I was like, damn, Dorge Kittle ain't got no black teammates at this bitch. Like, it was that obvious, right? Like, yeah, I was looking, too. I was looking.
Bosa was in there.
No, you know, that nigga was in there.
Bosa was in that thing. Boy, Bosa gonna break the sack record this year, boy. Boy, they done shot his president.
I tweeted Carr might have his best season of his career, bro.
Oh, man. 5 TDs coming. Week one.
Something that you said, you texted to me, stood out tremendously. And that was watching Devontae Adams play with Jimmy Garoppolo, which really made you, like, even feel more for Michael Thomas than what we probably even felt beforehand. Because we got to see as much as we could, right? But we got to see it, like, firsthand of exactly what we've talked about. When you've been in the league, you've been at the highest peaks of peaks. You in the postseason. You playing for Super Bowls. Like, you are creating your legacy. And then for that to just be gone, essentially, and now you're playing with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now you're playing with Derek Carr, and the balls are going all over the place. And all
shitty head, like, coach.
Bad head coach. Like, it's demoralizing, bro. It's
demoralizing. It is, man.
And people can say, oh, they're NFL players. They're making X amount of dollars. No, like, it's not. It's not like that.
And that's why I like this show, because, you know, yeah, they make tons of money, da 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 da. But you see, especially the best, like, these are the best, you know, Jettas,
Psycho,
Devontae Adams, these dudes love football.
Football.
Like, they want to win, they want to play at a high level. They want to be the reason their team winning. Like, and, you know, with Devontae, it just made me think of MT, like, damn, like, there was a time, like, it was like, who's better, MT or Devontae Adams? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a legitimate.
Like a season, maybe 2 seasons, debatable. At least 1 season, MT was better than Devontae.
Right. And just
about, like, as a fan, we got to witness that for the Saints.
It's crazy, you know? And just imagine it, like, damn, imagine what, you know, MT was going through with all that, with the injuries, with the, you know, the coaching, with the quarterback situation, and, you know, him trying to explain himself on social media, people coming at him. Like, man, it just made me like, damn, that shit, it just sucked the way that whole Michael Thomas era ended for the Saints, you know what I'm saying?
It did. Still, and I had tweeted this point with when the St. Brown clip came up, and getting back to the whole thing about culture is, or not culture, but maybe a team not thinking they can win the Super Bowl is, but it's a part of the culture, is that Equanimeous St. Brown was just given number 13. And I'm not saying that number 13 maybe, but he was just given number 13 to a receiver who maybe will make the team.
Maybe not.
Maybe won't make the team. But that to me is such a direct example of what we talk about, of like a laughing stock, in terms of you had a player playing through injuries. You were the reason that this player was hurt or continued to get hurt. And yet, because that player comes out and just says the truth, it's a whole thing about being petty. Still haven't seen a thank you MT post. I ain't seen shit. We ain't gonna see it, bro. We ain't gonna see it.
And Mike had never said anything bad about the Saints organization, ever. Nope. He loves the Saints organization. He loves the city. We know
don't know who Drew is. Don't know who Drew is. I don't know what's happening tonight. Second YouTube membership join. Shout out to Drew Donaldson. Our guy.
That's our guy right there.
Our guy.
Love you, Drew. But, yeah, like, he never disrespected the Saints organization. His problem was with the coaching staff.
Coaching staff and Derek Carr.
That's it.
like how is that any different than what we as fans' problem is?
But the Saints are acting like he's going to war against the organization or something. No thank you. Giving away 13. I mean, he couldn't even put 13 on a shelf for a year or two.
For a year, bruh? A year?
Just for a year.
That's dirty, bruh. That's dirty. It still doesn't sit right with me. It still just does not sit right with me. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, if you want to get back to prominence, like just being a respectable organization in terms of a culture move is that, like you said, right? Players talk. And the players are talking, they're like, man, like, shit, they did MT like that when he was out there balling for them? And they not going to even do a social media post? They going to give his number away like that to Equanimeous? Ain't like it was Amara.
And one thing about watching receivers, bro, players pay attention to everything, bro. They sit there in the training room and watch NFL Network, ESPN.
All of it.
You know, listen. They pay attention to everything that's going on. They talk.
All of it.
So.
I don't know if I say this, but I wonder if Cam's wife still listen to our podcast. She used to. I don't know. I don't know. Tony said, I forgot. Wasn't 12 reserved for a while after Colston retired. Don't really remember it being worn too much until the last couple of years.
I can't remember.
Good question, Tony. Good question. Maybe we could have someone. I wish we had like a producer that could just look that shit up, just like
look
that.
Look that up. Get on that, Dante. You grow spiritual.
I should say this. If you're planning to come to the Falcons Saints meetup November 10th, as Dante has said in the Discord, please make sure you are booking your lodging as soon as possible. That lodging is going up as the season gets closer. Hotel prices are likely to rise. So if you're coming, please, you know, we just trying to look out. We're not trying to have people just, you know, dropping tons of money if it can be avoided. So please book your lodging sooner rather than later. I need one of these, Ryan. One of these. Hmm. You feeling good, bro? Yeah. I need I don't know where the Cutwater headquarters are, but I need to make a visit.
Holler at us.
Second weekend watching. Enjoy the show, fellas. I'm going to try to pronounce this correctly. Irenica. Thank you, Irenica. Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Lord. Thank you.
Anything else? Something that I noticed watching receiver. Also, this is like a side note, but like Debo's kid looks exactly like a baby Anthony Edwards to me.
What a cute kid though. That's an adorable little kid though.
So is Davante Adams' kid. Like those girls are just precious. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Precious. Oh, did you see that white mom trying to get that dick at the birthday party though, nigga? She's like, oh, you daddy?
Oh my god, you're his brother? I was like, what? Oh, my Bree didn't like when he was Devontae was getting that massage. And boy, it was situating there, had the lights off, candles on. She said, you would not be getting a massage like that.
If you was an NFL player, bro, she gonna deny you a massage to get you better ready for the game. She gonna put you out there hurt, bro.
She said that was just looking a little too sensual up in there, boy. The candles on. That lady was rubbing. Because you flip to Debo, you know that lady had on.
I'm trying to say something else about flipping around him.
Oh no, no Deshaun Watson here, bro.
Up on the table, bro. Ooh, that boy horny.
It was interesting, man. It's a really good show. I really, especially like, you know, anybody of our listeners that got like, you know, high school kids or kids playing sports or whatever, it's really a good watch for them just to see how, you know, at least at the highest level, how they go about their business, man. Like they go about their business. They took care of their body, just all the little things they do. Like, kiddo had little shock sensors on his knee to shock his knees and
right.
All kind of stuff. The stuff Jettas was doing and trying to recover. And it also gives you a different light because, you know, as fans, we look at it like, oh, I bet JJ taking some games off, man, because, you know, it's a contract year. Shit, man. That boy was hungry
dying
to
to
get
get
on
back
that
on the
field.
field.
Dying. You know what I'm saying? Like, these dudes, they
Competitors,
are
man.
ultimate competitors, man. Ultimate competitors. Like, it drives them crazy. You saw that with Devontae. People try to say, oh, he's going to be selfish and that. That dude wanted to win, bro. And that dude went from playing with Aaron Rodgers, lighting up the league year to year, to he knew what it looked like. Because they won a game and he was still kind of upset because he knew it didn't look right. Like, even, okay, we won, but it just ain't right. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole way this thing functioned ain't right. And when it did start rolling, once Pierce came in, it didn't matter what type of yards he was getting. He
He
knew
was winning, bro.
what good football looked like. Like, we doing this the right
Yes.
way. You know what I'm
Yes.
saying? And that's
Players
what Mike
know,
Thomas
bro.
was talking about. Yeah, players know, man. They
Not
know.
that. Dante, great producer on the spot, said that Kenny Stills wore number 12 in 2021 and Marquez Callaway wore it in 2020 for 1 year until Olave came around.
And
Our
I think
new.
Colston's last year was 14 or 15, one of
Yeah,
those.
so it was on the shelf for a while. Drew said, "Online new starters blocking for Carr. Tough to buy that right now." What do you mean? Tough to buy what exactly? Dante said, "Coaching last year, 2015." One thing. So yeah, they're the most competitors. Something that stood out to me. I think I quietly forgot how great of a season Debo had. Which
Yeah,
the
man.
fact that he's probably on like quietly on the block is very fascinating to me. Just in the sense of, and what I've heard is if the Niners are going to trade him, they want a Christian McCaffrey package that they traded to get Christian McCaffrey that they want for Debo. Something that just was just clear as day to me. I was watching that last game, the Super Bowl, and after the Niners scored the field goal in overtime and the Chiefs got the ball. If you look at that Niner sideline, bruh, they knew.
They
They
knew
knew,
it,
bruh.
bro.
They knew. Like it was wild. They were just like, oh shit.
Here we go.
They knew it.
Thanos.
Wow.
It's just, who? I just couldn't get over the NFC Championship though, man. Because I really, I was rooting for the Lions, and I could relate to their fan base. You know what I'm saying? Because
Right.
we were there at one time, finally getting to the NFC Championship and stuff like that. You know, just being there hype. But man, to go up the way they did, like, they started a playoff game exactly how you pray to
Perfect.
start a playoff game. I mean,
Perfect, bruh.
perfect. And to lose like that, bro,
I was like I was watching, like I was feeling this when I was watching the game, but I was like, man, like Dan Campbell, just take the three, bruh. Just take the
like
three.
that. I said, I'm like, bro, just kick the field goal,
Just
man.
take the three, bruh.
Damn.
But I will say this. As Amara was talking about it, as Dan Campbell was talking about it, you talked about this after the Rams game. And I thought it was so salient. And then it kind of came back around when watching receiver. When you are like to go forward on fourth down, like that shit, you practice it. That is instilled in you, that is your identity. I was at that Rams game, and when DA was trying to go for it on fourth down, like it wasn't in the
Get
Saints
out
youth.
of
Like
here.
it was not in them.
It's
So
not in them.
it didn't like that was not something that they practiced in OTAs and practiced in training camp. That wasn't something that was like instilled in them, like this is the team that we are. We on fourth and one, we on fourth and two, we trust our offense to go out and get that shit. Period. That was not
Shit.
them. So that's why I just felt so counterfeit. Like I was
Right.
like, this nigga going for it? Okay. All right.
It was fascinating to see. Also,
Dan Campbell's a great coach, man.
oh man, he's a damn good coach, bro. He gets me going. Like, I play for him. Like, bro,
Right.
I play for his ass right now. But one thing that stood out to me also, I remember Michael Lombardi talking about it a while back, how, players have to like their quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Ooh,
out. It's like it's not something you can really fake. You know what I'm saying? They have to like, and it doesn't mean you have to be a rah-rah guy. You could be a different personality, but they have to like you. You got to be a dude. You know, they love Jared Goff. The Lions, he's a dude. You know what I'm saying? They love him. They love Brock Purdy. They love Kirk Cousins. You know what I'm saying? And you could see it.
Yes.
And I just don't feel that with Carr, bro. I just don't feel it, bro.
It's the same way the Raiders felt as an organization or players, offensive players, that they felt about Jimmy G, bro.
Right, exactly.
Like, you can't fake that. Like, if you are my teammate, you my quarterback, and you're in the trenches with me, and if I don't like you, and two, if I don't trust you to play well, man, that's a terrible combination. And
terrible.
The Saints are in this place where, with Derek Carr at the helm, he has to the best of his ability, fix that relationship with with Olave. And also, just a quick aside, I was like, dang, how do Spencer Rattler and Debo? And then I was like, oh, they played at South Carolina together. Like, mm-hmm, you know, like, yep. That's how. Anyway.
And then Leggett is like a, you know, like a poor man's Debo, or, you know, some people view him as similar to Debo. So I thought that was pretty cool.
They're completely different players.
They're different to me. Like, I like Leggett. I know some people don't, but I like him. How it'll be with the Panthers, we'll see.
He does give the Panthers an element that they need of more, just like, if you put it up for him with the Bryce Young ball, mm-hmm, you're hoping that Leggett, when he did it in college, can win 50-50 balls, right?
Right.
Although it's weird because it feels like they drafted like similar players in like back-to-back drafts with like Mingo and then Leggett. But yeah, exactly. I digress. Trying to think, anything else from receiver that just caught my eye?
Can the NFL not get a suite for the own NFL player? NFL players got to put up $3 million for a suite, bro. You got star NFL players saying, like, man, I can't afford no suite.
No, they could. The they just choose.
I mean, $3 million, bro. Like, God.
Again,
damn.
They could. They just choose not to. But to your point, it's ridiculous that they even.
They can't get 50% off or something. Like, I'm playing the game. Like, I'm in the game. I am the product. Like, I can't get a discount.
They can't get a promo code.
Promo code or something like that.
NFL friends and family.
Like, they are coming to see me play. Like, I can't get.
I'm bringing y'all revenue.
And they can't pay the 18 guys, you know, $150K a year or whatever. Well,
okay.
You know what
I'm all right. Capitalism, baby.
I love it, bro. I love it.
Should I segue into this? I'm gonna segue into it just because of the cold water. How are you feeling right now after everything happened yesterday?
Oh man, I'm worried, bro. Like, I'm worried about the country. Like, honestly, like, you know, yeah, we got jokes off and stuff like that, but we in a territory I haven't seen in my lifetime. Like, period. I know we, you know, probably our parents or grandparents been there in the 60s or whatever, but we in a, and it's been this way for a couple of years now. We just, like, bro, shout out to the new generation that's coming up, because they've had some experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, man, pandemic, you had the huge, Black Lives Matter marches, you had, you know, Trump coming in 2016, him getting out. You had the January 6th stuff. You had this yesterday.
Save big on your Labor Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on our full line sale of delicious fresh Tyson chicken with your card. Then get 6 ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.67 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It worries me, man. I mean, now you're talking about the geopolitical stuff. Russia, China, nuclear war saber, rattling, Israel, Gaza. So much going on, man. And it's like I can't predict. Like, we are in an unprecedented situation, honestly. So
Right.
anybody predicting, oh, it's gonna be like this, you don't know.
You don't know what
Have
the fuck you're
no
talking about.
idea.
No
Have
clue.
no idea. No idea, man. And the thing about what happened yesterday is, it's like, what are the reactions? Like, bro, I was on the road driving through Mississippi when you text me that shit. And I'm like, what? And then, I pull it up. I'm like, oh shit, let me get home. Like, you know
Let
what
me get the fuck out of here.
I'm saying? Get my ass home. I had to stop at the gas station. You start noticing people just looking a little mad. I'm like, man, hold up, man.
Uh-oh.
Let me get on. Let me get the hell on out of there. Then I saw a high speed chase, some white dude doing 360s on the interstate. I'm like, man, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. So it just worries me, bro.
Like you said, bro, unprecedented territory. It's we know the game, we know what the playbook gonna look like. Like, we're not done. We're not super to how it's gonna look. But it's the fact that the attempted, well, the shooter was a registered Republican. Like, it just feels like the most American thing ever. Like, in a weird way, right? Like, doesn't it? Like,
Oh, very much so.
like it's like,
The
oh,
most,
of course he
of
wouldn't be.
course, the Pennsylvania. The irony of it, though, the irony of it is, they've been running on this, law and order. Look at the crime in these Democratic-run cities, and all the crime, high crime, black on black crime, blah 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 blah, and you're getting popped by your own people. Your own people trying to take you out, bruh.
What? Interesting. Quite interesting.
It's ironic, you know what I'm saying? It's ironic.
SARS
Because
came and said, are you guys armed?
not no more, but I used to be.
Yeah.
But like you said, bro, like, imagine if he was black. Shit, boy. I wasn't gonna go to work at all this week.
Man, yeah, you text me saying I might use some PTO tomorrow, bro.
Man, I live in Alabama, bro. Shit.
Yeah, my family's from Troy, Alabama. So, it's I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where the meetup happens, what, a couple of days after Election Tuesday.
I don't know. I have no idea what state the country would be in by then, bro. No
None.
idea. We
None.
gonna be there, though.
Oh, I know DC4 gonna go off though. DC4 gonna go off. For sure. For sure win. Thank you, Wayne. 5 days after. For sure win. Bank
Cook the books,
it.
Wayne. Cook them books.
Books.
If you're in the Discord,
Yeah, you don't, you dumb. Anything, I mean, this might be a shorter episode, but we've had some fun just talking about receiver. Oh, can we talk about the Louisiana LA food thing real quick?
Oh, okay. I
Now,
mean, like, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, one, if you know me, most people know that I can't really eat seafood because of an allergy. So it like eliminates a lot of places in New Orleans that I would like to go to just because of
About
that.
60%.
Gone. All just
Gone.
gone. Hold on, weird question. Drew said with cards, like, he's a good dude, but is he a real competitor? I would say he's a competitor, like, because any of, like, listen, as much as I greatly dislike Derek Carr, he could have like shut it down multiple times this season with the numerous litany of injuries he had. Because he fought through some stuff. Like, that's legit. My thing is that Derek Carr at this point in his career is he is who he is. Like, he is who he is. He's not a franchise quarterback. He's a probably at best like a little better than a bridge quarterback. Where if you surround him with really good talent, a really good offensive system, he can look good. But like, if you expect him to go out every Sunday and win a game for you as a team, he's not that guy. And I, and the Saints felt like he was that guy, which is why they paid him the They paid him the money that they paid him. But if you've been listening to or watching the podcast, you would also know too that previous, like before they went back and offered him that contract, they had a contract on the table that was very similar to like the Geno Smith contract, or very like, but just a very like, all right, this is more like team friendly type of deal. And he, his agent, with great brilliance, leaked it that he was going to take a meeting with the Jets, and the Saints came back, or should I say Dennis Allen came back and kind of, speaking of House of Dragons, usurped everyone and said, hey, we're offering this contract. I don't say what anyone says. And that's why the Saints paid him what they paid him, and now they have egg on their face. That is how it went down. Crazy. Dante said, tough, yes. However, he comes off as very soft mentally, wants to be liked and not a genuine passion. Person, boom. Yes, absolutely. Straight also up. Why, can I say, it's also why after them reports of them, the Saints wanted to train up for Michael Penix and the draft came out, the Saints were trying to put fires out and saying that report wasn't true.
Whoa.
Okay, let me stop, bro. I'm out here preaching tonight, bro.
Saints like, no. We were never going to do that.
Who do you want to trade up for a quarterback? No. Okay. All right.
But yeah, the Louisiana food thing, like, look, bro, like, you Equanimeous better chill out, bro. Like, he is not in.
Man, don't shake it right now.
No, shake it Brown, bro. Like, come on, man. You talk about Saints fan. And look, like, New Orleans people going to take it a little more personal because you do not talk bad, even though he really didn't talk bad about the food. He just really hadn't got to experience it yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Across and how it was worded.
How it was worded, you know. But look, man, like, it might not be for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not a big fried food person, you're not a seafood person, you know, it's going to take you a while to find the food you like down in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? And look, he's an L.A. guy, you know, Southern California guy. You know,
Some good ass food out here.
Good food, bro. Talking about a world class city, man. Like a super diverse city with, you know, you got the Hispanic influence, you got the, you know, all over. I mean, everything. Whatever you want is out there. So, I mean, I'm just saying for him, like, bro, like, come on, man. Like,
I'll say this. Like, as much, I love LA food, I love the diversity. I could go. Get whatever, you know, ethnicity of food I'm wanting to eat, is I'm always have that option. I can't go nowhere in LA and get something similar to that dog. Can't do it, bro. Doesn't exist. Now it's no longer in business, but to this day, if I go somewhere and they got fried pickles on the menu, I'm like, man, are they going to be better than the fried pickles I had at Praline Connection? To this day, still have not had fried pickles as good as those fried pickles were at Praline Connection. So it's one of those, and plus, like, I'm from Texas. My family's from Alabama, like Troy, Alabama, like deep south. Like, it's like LA serves a different purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
LA cuisine serves a different purpose. There's one place out here, if I'm wanting like soul food, Vixen's Kitchen. It's in LA Live. It's right next to Staples. Some of the best soul food I've had, kind of across the board, but especially for like LA. Like, it is the best soul food place in LA. But I'm not gonna, like, more than likely, I'm not gonna search out soul food places or like places like that here.
Right.
Like, I'm going back to Lubbock. I'm going to New Orleans to get that part of my craving fixed, right? Two completely different type of things, right? But also, too, I wonder if some of it's like when you grew up in LA, which I didn't. Well, I came here as an adult. So, but if you grew up from here, from like when you're born, there's a certain type of cuisine you get used to. It's a little healthier out here. It's a little, you know what I mean? And that compared to New Orleans, completely different, bro.
Completely different, man. We go to the corner store, gas station, and come out with, you know, 10-piece chicken with shrimp fried rice, egg rolls, and You know, you might come out with a 32-inch po' boy with hot sauce, shrimp. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you got to be here for a while. So I'm giving him grace to just experience if he's with the team. He's still with the team to experience, you know, the cuisine in New Orleans, and I think he'll come around.
I think he will.
And maybe not. Maybe not. Like, those are some different dudes, man. He got a German mother, you know, a nutcase as a father. You know,
Ryan.
Who knows what they were eating growing up, bro? Probably eating.
Tony said, the more shady the place looks, the better the food will be.
I'm telling you, man. New Orleans, I mean, if the door hanging off and you got drug dealers out front, try that shit. That shit hit. I see a dead body out front, like laid out. Like, try that shit.
Oh, what's the lunch special?
Crackheads walking through. Oh, you know it's hit.
Oh man, I miss it, bro. I miss it. Like, I'm glad I'm coming in November. I wish it was sooner. Like, it's just, man, it just really feels like
getting my shrimp and grits, boy.
Had to throw that thing around. I had to throw that thing around, bro. Don't know why it was messing with me, bro. Just, what? But anyhow, had a lot of fun this episode. If you are not a Patreon yet, if you're not a YouTube member yet, this is your opportunity right now to become that dollar a day in terms of, you know, sorry, dollar a month in terms of Patreon or what have you. YouTube starts at $5 a month. We have our Saints Falcons meetup game happening November in New Orleans after the election, but in New Orleans, not letting the state of the country have an effect on us. So sign up, become a Patreon, become a YouTube member, join us. It's going to be a absolute ball. We're doing the West Coast meetup, Saints Charger game. I've organized everything right now. There's 18 of us going to the game at the Rams game last year. West Coast meetup, we had about 35. I want to get to about the same number, if not more, for the Chargers game. So, again, become a Patreon. Patreon.com/SaintsBlockParty. Become a YouTube member. Get it set up. This is what this is about, man. Like, this really is, like, we can laugh, we can joke. At the end of the day, this is about... It's about this community, and in a weird way, Sergeant King said, "I'm still on boycott from all the Saints events." Listen, I'll say this: don't come for the Saints specifically. You come for the community. Like, when you are there at the game, like, the Saints are not the forefront. It's all of us. And it's one of those things that until you've experienced it, until you've felt it, it's really hard to, like, make sense of. So this is going to be our third big annual meetup in New Orleans. Every year they built upon, they've gotten bigger. And we have a great group of people at the end of the day. Like, that's why we continue to do this. There's really not any football to talk about right now, right? There's, like, legit nothing to talk about. But yet here we are talking about football. We're talking about the Saints. We're talking about receiver because y'all deserve it. Like, really, y'all deserve it. Tomorrow's going to be the 15th, and we're about a couple of weeks away from training camp, and the news is going to come out, you know, flat, you know, fast and furious, talking about AK's contract extension, talk about is Derek Carr picking up Clint Kubiak's offense. It's all going to be coming fat, boom, 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 boom. August is going to be here for, you know what, August 10th, first preseason game. Saints Cardinals. Like, it is around the corner. So we want y'all to just, like we said, y'all deserve it. Dante said the New Orleans meetup is sandwiched between the election and Veterans Day. All that tells me, Dante, is that Derek Carr is going to ball out, nigga. Ball like, out. I don't get how it's a bad thing. Sergeant King said, my truth may not be your truth. I stand on my decision. Listen, you can boycott the Saints. I get it. You have a lot of reasons to boycott the Saints right now. I'm not.
I understand.
We get it. But it's this entire thing that we do it started off as a podcast. I put this on Instagram. I put this on TikTok of just our moment when Peyton Turner got drafted and kind of just a throwback to that viral moment and seeing where we were then health-wise and technology-wise.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Sergeant King, for your service. He said he's a veteran. Thank you for your service. Oh, sorry. That was the wrong hand. I apologize. To see where we are now, it warms my soul, man. It really warms my soul. And it's because of y'all. Like, for real. Like, it's because of y'all. We wouldn't be here in the growth that we've had if it wasn't for y'all. So we truly, truly appreciate y'all more than y'all ever know.
Hell yeah.
So thank y'all for joining us on a Sunday night, chopping it up with us. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sergeant King. I apologize. Sergeant King is a she. Sorry. That's on me. That's my bad. As Pete Carmichael said, that's on me.
It's on me.
It's on me. Apologize.
Shout out, Sarge.
Thank you, Sergeant King. Thank you for your service. We will be back. Figure something to talk about maybe this upcoming week. We'll figure something out. But thank y'all. We appreciate it. We love y'all. Thank you for the support. Thank you for Dane and our dude Drew for becoming our first two YouTube SBP memberships. We appreciate it. Thank you for your support, Sergeant King. We'll be back this upcoming week. With that, we're out.
Peace.